From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Refreshing Sleep. The text is Proverbs 3 and verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Is our listener likely to be confined for a while to the bed by sickness? Let him go upstairs without distress, with this promise upon his heart, When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. When we go to bed at night, let this word smooth our pillow. We cannot guard ourselves in sleep, but the Lord will keep us through the night. Those who lie down under the protection of the Lord are as secure as kings and queens in their palaces, and a great deal more so. If with our lying down there is a laying down of all cares and ambitions, we shall get refreshment out of our beds, such as the anxious and covetous never find in theirs. Ill dreams shall be banished, and even if they come, we shall wipe out the impression of them, knowing that they are only dreams. If we sleep thus, we shall do well. How sweetly Peter slept, even when the angel's light did not wake him, and he needed a hard jog in the side to wake him up. And yet he was sentenced to die on the morrow. Thus have martyrs slept before their burning. So he giveth his beloved sleep. To have sweet sleep, we must have sweet lives, sweet tempers, sweet meditations, and sweet love.
And safe is such confiding for
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Paul's thesis for the book of Romans is found in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, where he writes, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, The just shall live by faith. The heart of the gospel is justification by faith alone, in Christ alone. The first thing we note about the gospel is its divine origin. It is not the product of human philosophy. Rather, it is a divine revelation. Then the subject of the gospel is the righteousness of God. It has nothing to do with man's works, but with the righteousness which comes from God alone. This is the righteousness which Christ earned by his death on the cross, and which God imputes to those who believe on Christ. Furthermore, this righteousness is received by faith alone. Mental assent to the truths of the gospel is not enough. To be saved, one must believe on Christ with all the heart. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Peculiar Power of the Gospel.
Remember this, the only righteousness that Paul knew or spoke about as the ground of a sinner's justification and acceptance with God was the righteousness that Jesus Christ wrought out for his people by his obedience in life and in death. Now keep that in mind. The only righteous merit that Paul ever contemplated as the ground of a sinner's justification is the righteousness of Christ. By the righteousness of Christ, I mean his obedience to the law of God. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you'll find that at the end of chapter 5, he takes this up in some detail, and especially in verses 18 and 19. He is dealing with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the merit of his obedience of the law of God, of the merit of his dying to placate or pay the penalty of the law of God and placate the wrath of God. That's the righteousness that God provided. Paul knew no other righteousness. And he didn't discuss any other righteousness as a ground of acceptance with God. And I would put it to you that it would be common sense for us, therefore, not to discuss any other righteousness but the one that the apostle had in mind. Robert Haldane, the great Scottish commentator in Romans, the man whose verbal commentary in Romans given in studies in Geneva to young men who were members of the seminary there, led them to Christ and led them to revival. J.H. Merle Daubigny, the great historian of the Protestant Reformation, was one of those young men saved and brought into revival through Haldane's lectures in Romans. You can still buy Haldane's commentary, and you'll find it still one of the very best. Haldane said that this righteousness was the righteousness which God has provided, which he has effected, and which he imputes for justification to all his elect. Now this becomes very clear. Remember how Paul deals with his argument here in Romans. Verse 17 finishes a statement of theme: the just shall live by faith. Now he doesn't take that up again till chapter 3 and verse 21. As we see in between, he's dealing with the need for justification. Before he expounds the justification, he shows the need for it. So, for a moment, let's leave out everything. Chapter 1, verse 18 through to chapter 3, verse 20. And see how Paul expounds his own doctrine. Verse 17 of chapter 1. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 21 of chapter 3. But now the righteousness of God with being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. You could translate that without a cause, without any cause in themselves, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. He's going to expound it further, as I've indicated, when you come into chapter 5. What is he saying? He's saying a righteousness from God is revealed in the gospel. What is that righteousness? Well, to answer that, he directs you immediately to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back in chapter 1, for the moment, Paul's intention is simply to establish that God has good news for guilty sinners who are utterly devoid of any righteousness before him. Sinners who can do nothing to procure a righteous standing that God would approve and God would accept. He says, I have good news for you. This is the gospel. And the good news is that he has provided that perfect righteousness in Christ. That's the burden of this epistle. We have read chapter 3, 21 through 26. Notice the emphasis on the righteousness of God. Verse 21, now the righteousness of God without the law, that is, without our working for it, in obedience to the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 26, to declare his righteousness. And again, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. This is the great theme of the revelation of the gospel. It's the righteousness that God has provided. Listen, I lack more than voice tonight. I lack the ability, I lack the words, I lack the imagination, I lack the descriptive power, I lack the depth of thought, I lack everything that a preacher would want for this occasion. But oh, had I the intellect and the heart and the mind and the words of the apostle, I wonder even then, could I really get it over? Here is Paul saying, men and women, we are sinners, vile, guilty, wretched sinners. We have no righteousness before God, not by keeping the law, not by the ritual of religion. We cannot do anything to establish a righteous standing with God. We are under wrath and condemnation, and there's not a thing in the world that we can do to change that. But here is good news. View Christ. See in him a perfect obedience to the law. See in him, in his obedience, a perfect righteousness wrought out by the man Christ Jesus. And remember this, God has so united Christ and his people that those whose trust is in Jesus find that God imputes the righteousness of Christ to them. He lays all that Christ has merited to their account, because he has already laid all that they have merited to Christ's account. As he says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, who knew no righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the burden of the gospel. That's the revelation. That's the veil taken away. Oh, it was in the Old Testament that Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's in the Old Testament that the just by his faith shall live. These are all there as precursors of the final announcement. But now the veil is taken away and Christ is presented to us in all the fullness and beauty of his full accomplishment. We're told this is what Paul means by the righteousness of God. In chapter 10, verse 3 of Romans, he says, of the Jews, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So what is the righteousness of God? Well, think of what Paul says here. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. What is their own righteousness? Surely it's a righteousness on the basis of their own works. How foolish sinners are. Not just Jewish sinners. People going about to establish a righteousness by their own works. People going about trying to impress God with what they have done. People trying to earn the favor of God by what they think, do, say, or pay. Men and women, it can't be done. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. That's a righteousness by their own, on the basis of their own works. So if their own righteousness is a righteousness on the basis of their own works, God's righteousness, therefore, is a righteousness on the basis of God's works. What is God's work? It's the giving of Jesus Christ to live, to suffer, to die, to rise again for the salvation of his people. I want you to get this. You see, to obtain the righteousness that God has provided by Christ's obedience, to obtain that righteous standing with God through faith in Christ, is the most important thing in the world. It's the most precious thing in the world. Think of what Paul said when he was writing to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 9. He says, I count all things but dung that I may be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul says, and very few people could say what he could say. He said, I had everything that a Jew could have. I was rising high in Jewish religion. According to the estimate of that religion, I was one of the righteous. A proud, self-righteous Pharisee. But he says, I count it all but dung. Not a very pretty turn of phrase, but oh, how telling. There's nothing in this world that's worth losing your soul for. If you put anything or anybody before a justifying faith in Christ, you are damning your soul for a bucket of dung. That's what Paul says. You may call it gold. Only appears that way for a little while. It's just dung. Paul says, I count it all but dung. The only thing that matters is to be found in Christ. To be found in Christ. To be found without any of the rags of my own self-righteousness. And to be found clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Men and women, make sure that you obtain that righteousness. It may be obtained without money and without works. For it's God's gift. Romans 5:17 says, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The gift of righteousness. God's free gift. This gospel is a revelation. It's a revelation of a divine righteousness, a righteousness of God. And that righteousness of God is received by faith alone. We come now to another little phrase that is highly controversial. Revealed, and then we read from faith or by faith to faith. That has led to some of the strangest ideas from preachers. In the early days of the church fathers liked to say that it was from the Old Testament faith to the New Testament faith. How they ever came up with that one's hard to say, but they did. Some said it was from the faith of the preacher to the faith of the hearer. The idea that most have adopted is that it's from a weak faith to a strong faith. The idea that very often when faith first lays hold of Christ, it is but a weak faith, and then it leads to stronger faith. From one degree of faith to another. I'm not going to discuss all these things for the simple reason that none of them really comes to terms with Paul's meaning. Take this little phrase, from faith or by faith to faith. How do you construe that? With what do you link it in the text? Do you link it with righteousness? A righteousness by faith to faith is revealed. Or do you link it with revealed? A righteousness is revealed by faith to faith. Now, I think once you put the question that way, you get the answer. Personally, and I have tried very hard to do this, I cannot attribute any clear meaning whatsoever to the statement that the gospel of the righteousness of Jesus Christ is revealed by faith. I can't make any sense out of that statement. And I have not read anybody else who's made any sense out of that statement, even those who defend it. You stop and think of it. What on earth would that mean? The gospel of justifying righteousness is revealed by or out of faith. I suppose that's what led the early church fathers to say it was out of the faith of the Old Testament. Clearly, it's an almost meaningless statement. The gospel was revealed by God. You may say the gospel was revealed by grace. You have to say the gospel is revealed to faith, not by faith. Now, once you've established that, I think you get the answer, because on the other hand, it is the very essence of the doctrine of Romans to say that the righteousness which God has provided is a righteousness which is by faith, a justification which is by faith. Now we begin to get somewhere. In the gospel, a righteousness of God by faith is revealed.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.